this approach where people think you can create generational wealth in an instance or maybe overnight or in a few years' time. What's the right approach towards wealth creation when you're confronting risk?
Now, generational money, even the word generational means what?
It takes.
Longevity. It's about time.
Longevity,
so it tells you money doesn't just come. Money is preserved and value is added, but over a period of time.
What do you think leads to this obsession with chasing the highest return? And sometimes the highest return also means chasing the highest risk out there.
Maybe we need to start by defining what risk is. And of course, risk is the chance of loss. A risk should be a friend, because if you ignore risk, then it becomes your enemy. If you are starting life, it's different from someone who is ending their working life. Because when you are starting life, your risk levels are up there and your investment savings,
still down there.
They are still down.
Welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show where we not only tell you, but also show you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And as always, this is guided by conversations with our experts of money. And I'm happy to introduce the topic of this week before introducing the guests. Now, Kenyans and risks are intertwined. In essence, you would say Kenyans and risks fit the same line. And now what people want to do really is make money. But sometimes people want to make it much more overnight. And this is them. They end up taking a lot of risks over time. And what you see is people going for quite high-risk assets, the likes of contracts for differences, and sometimes you fall for get-rich-quick schemes easily. And the conversation we have to have this week is, how do you actually manage risks? You know, risk presents pleasure and at the same time pain. So a lot of songs will speak about taking the pleasure and the pain. And to get into this conversation on understanding risk and knowing how to navigate risk over time, I'm happy to introduce our guest for this week, Mr. Stanley Mutuku. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Lofty Coban. And Mr. Stanley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kathy.
And I did try setting the context that, you know, Kenyans, we are risk takers, which is positive, but at the same time, sometimes our greatest undoing becomes the same risk taking behavior. And what I've seen mostly and what I get sometimes with doing this podcast is a lot of people will come to you and ask you, hey, Kefa, how can we make, you know, how can we double or triple our money, you know, over a certain time, you know, how can I get money overnight? You know, people want to make money, go away, take holidays to Bali, quit the 9-to-5. You know, we call this the rat race, where you have to wake up Monday to Friday thinking about work, sometimes the weekends. And what we get to see is a lot of comparisons on returns on around investment classes. And what I've seen mostly online is comparisons on, say, money market fund rates. You know, if you are paying the highest return, then you'll tend to get favor in the market, because Kenyans are, again, looking for the highest return sometimes. What do you think leads to this obsession with chasing the highest return? And sometimes the highest return also means chasing the highest risk out
sure,
there.
Sure. Thank you, Kefa, for that question. And the topic is very relevant today. You'll notice everyone is running to look for a return without imagining what risk is. And so maybe we need to start by defining what risk is. And of course, risk is the chance of loss. And if everyone imagined, if I was to put my money anywhere and I would lose, then we would slow down and ask ourselves then, what is return? And return, of course, when you're looking at return, there are quite a number of things that we might need to look at. And one of them is, what time do I have for this return to come? Where am I putting this money? And in terms of that risk, we realign it with regulation. And so anyone you are running to, you need always to ask, are they regulated? And if they are not regulated, then we say, put a full stop and start searching again. And then the third one is, how much money do I have that can be exposed to some amount of risk? And so there are basics that we need to look at when we are looking at investments. So one of the basics is the time that I have. The second one is, how much do I need to risk, or how much money do I have as a foundation that has set myself where I say, before I put any money anywhere else, then this amount cannot be touched. That is what we call a buffer. So a foundation that allows you then to ask yourself, if anything happened to me in the next 1 year, what would happen? And then, of course, thirdly, is liquidity. How easily am I able to access this money before I can touch it? Going back to your introductory remarks of the rankings, of course, rankings are good. They give you a base on where to start from. And starting from the basis of this is a top person, then I need to ask, what kind of investments are we talking about? Where are they investing this money? What value am I getting out of putting this money vis-a-vis the risk that is available in that kind of an investment? And so before you invest your money, interact with the person who is introducing that fund or investment opportunity to yourself. We have also, of course, gone to the level now of saying you need to analyze yourself as an individual to understand yourself and your emotional relationship with risk or loss. If you put your money somewhere and 20% was to go down, will you be able to sleep? And so we ask ourselves, if there is volatility in any investment, am I able to take it? And so, of course, there is also the other reasoning or worldview of asking ourselves, who is actually putting those rates up there? Because you have everyone who has now come and become a consultant, investment consultant. Do you want to believe everyone? Of course, the Capital Markets Authority has a way of regulating even us as players in the market. And we are required to pass certain exams for us to be able to be advisors. So ask, under what authority are you providing this information?
So we did speak of Kenyans being quite ambitious, and it's a good thing, one, that you know we really want to do better for ourselves, improve our outcomes, create wealth. But there's this approach where people think you can create generational wealth in an instance or maybe overnight or in a few years' time. What's the right approach towards wealth creation when you're confronting risk? Noting that, again, you know, sometimes people are like, risk it all, you know, make it or die trying. That's the kind of attitude you tend to come across. Yeah. But what perhaps is the right attitude to approach wealth creation?
Obsession with making money very fast or doubling your money. It's not bad. Maybe what is wrong is the outlook or the view that you have on that. Because we expect to make money so fast, we forget then there are risks involved. But the right thing to say is, let's be obsessed, but let's look at it from the other way, that we can double, triple, quadruple our monies, but we need to give it time. So we need to ask ourselves, how much time do I have to double, to triple, or quadruple my money? For example, we've looked at money markets today. The current rate for Lofty Kobani Investments Limited Money Market Fund is 10.14%. For you to double your money, you need about 7 years. That's when you'll have doubled your money. If the rate went to 15%, then you need just about 4.8 months, for example, or 5 years to double your money. And so you can see, you can double your money, yes, but we are asking, how much time do you have? So the right posture or the right mindset should be, how much time do I have? Now, generational money, even the word generational means what?
It takes
longevity.
It's
about
years.
Time.
It's longevity, yeah, it's decades.
It's longevity, yeah, okay. So it tells you, money doesn't just come. Money is preserved and value is added, but over a period of time. So let's not rush into making money in a day. Otherwise, if someone comes and promises you returns that are outside this world, for example, the benchmark or what we call the free return rate in the market is about what the government treasury bills offer, and that is about 8%. 9% as we speak. So if someone gave you 30% today, you should be questioning, are they normal? So in fact, you should be running away from that person faster than you would run from a cheetah.
You, just for some context on something you added there, if you really want, if you are really curious about how to double your money, then you know you just have to take the number 72, divide it by the number of or the percentage. Figure on the net return, yeah. The percentage of that. So for a 10% return every year,
sure,
divided by 72, you know, gives you about 7.2 years, so exactly, which is about 7 years and, you know, 1 or 2 months, and you'd have actually doubled your money. And
sure,
you can always do the same for a higher rate of return, yeah, or a lower rate of return to have, sure, a sense of, yeah, that. We are always presented with a measure of risk where we speak of low risk, medium, and higher risks. For someone approaching any of that, and you know, the classic example is your bonds or your risk, something close to a risk-free rate, which is the CBR or central bank rate, would be what your T-bills and your bonds are offering. And in a sense, this is deemed low risk. Again, we say not zero risk. Sure. We've seen defaults in economies like Zambia and Ghana, of course, so we do know that's low risk. Then medium risk towards higher risk is when stocks come in, you know, and other instruments. How would you define the approach towards approaching all levels of risk from low to the high risk instruments?
I will approach it from even the investment objectives of Kenyans and the world over. We have four. Of course, there have been three for a long time. As Loft Coban, we have thought about one, which we added, and we have always talked about. The first objective is capital preservation. The second objective is income. The third objective is growth. And then we've come up with the objective of longevity. And so when you look at this, it defines the life of a human being on an investment perspective. And so from what you analyzed and clearly say that low risk, medium risk, and long-term risk, we are saying here, capital preservation caters for low risk investments. And in that, we talk about three assets which are in the market free. And that is bank deposits. And we always say that is a bank borrowing money from investors. And people should start thinking from that perspective. Every time you give money to the bank, you're borrowing from. And that is why there is a negotiation on the rate. And then the second one is treasury bills, lending money to the government. So when often the government issues treasury bills, they're borrowing money from the public. And then the third one is commercial papers. Now, these three combined is what we call money market. From a regulatory perspective, that is where you realize the capital markets will only allow those three assets in the money market fund. And so anything outside that will not be. And that is what we call medium low return, low risk, as well as the capital preservation objective is met. And so even in terms of investments, we are saying for you to invest short term, then you are looking for short low risk assets as well as low return or average moderate return to what is happening in the economy. Now, secondly, when you go to the medium perspective, we are talking about basically two assets, or maybe three, but I will touch two. And the first one is treasury bonds, government, of course, borrowing. Now, a bit longer term from the public. And then we talk about corporate bonds, where it is companies or corporate entities borrowing from the public. Now, those ones, they will provide what we call income. And then they also now put you in the spectrum of a medium term investment with medium opportunity for a return in the form of an income. And then we jump to the longer period where we are talking about now stocks, we are talking about REITs, we are talking about real estate, of course, like rentals and such things, where now we are talking about potential for very high returns, but also potential for higher risk. So the volatility continues as you go up the spectrum. And so anyone thinking about investments should think about where am I in my life? and what are my current needs, and specifically, what is my foundation? Because you could be 50, but your foundation is very weak. You could be 20, your foundation is very strong. And so it depends on your personal perspective and circumstances. Investments should be anchored on. It is right to say here, investments are personal and individually unique. Your investment objectives and mine, same age, same everything, would be very different because of our circumstances. And that is why we say it is personal. And that is why you need to engage an investment advisor at all times to just find out who am I in terms of my relationship with my money at the current status that I am in, so that you do not go throwing monies left, right, and center. I believe that is the perspective that we need to look at. The third one is, all this said and done, is the objective of longevity. And longevity, I'm talking about my lifetime. Can my money, which I invested short-term, medium-term, long-term, sustain me for the rest of my life? And that is where now retirement planning comes in, which is a big topic that needs to be engaged on, because we are having trouble when people get to retirement. And so we need to look at, when we retire then, what we need to do. And we always advise, as people get to the ages of 55, 60, and they are retiring, they need to go into the mode of liquidation of the hard assets towards near cash or cash, because there's a lot of dynamics that change. And so you can make your decisions after now you've liquidated, you've realized what I have, and this is what I might need in the short term. Now you plan now even longer to realize, to make sure that this keeps you for the longest. And these opportunities are there, and the information, knowledge, and advice is available with all fund managers in the market, including Lofty Coban, where we work.
So people try come up with certain rules or certain formulas towards asset allocation based on risk, and a lot of the times you'll see someone suggest, you know, take 110, subtract it from your age, you know, you can put that towards the more moderate to higher risk assets. Maybe for your age, you keep that into low risk assets. I've seen other suggestions, you know, the techpreneur from the US, Mark Cuban, who, yeah, you know, owned an NBA team, suggesting that you can try have 10% of your assets in risks. Yeah. So how exactly should one think about? Like you mentioned, it's very personal. It's very specific to a person. You really can't come up with a certain rule that would fit everyone across the board.
Yeah. The people who are thinking like this, and these principles, of course, have worked. They will continue to work depending on who is looking at them. And it gives me a lot of opportunism or happiness that people think about asset allocation. The two principles, looking at 110 minus 30, 40, 50, gives you an opportunity to know, if I am 40, I take 110, that is 70. So it tells me I have a whole 70 years to risk. That principle, that is what it says. And so I can put 70% of my money into high-risk investments, and then only 30% in stable or low-risk opportunities. Of course, that works very well. But we say you need to look at your circumstances, because that may work, may not work. Because if, for example, you are 60 years and you take 110 minus 60, it gives you 50%. So it is telling you at 60, you should be putting half your investments in high risk.
Yeah.
So it is... It's practical, it may not be practical, because we have just said here, at 60, you need to start
thinking about exactly life after working and
earning income. Yeah, and so it is important for us to start looking at it. Then the other one of 10%. 10% is too generalistic. I would call it a fallacy in a way, because if you look at 10% of your investment, if you are 20 and you're putting your 10% into risk, you're actually losing opportunity, because you have a wider period where you can risk before you de-risk, and the returns will be even far much higher. And so, yes, it would work, but we need now to interrogate it from an individual perspective. So let's not just read for the sake of reading. Those are principles that have been given to us by people. They are human beings like us. They thought it is the best. So we need also now to relate it to our circumstances.
So a couple of more questions to go. And I think first one, this was a conversation just before we sat down, is, you know, you did mention the need for safeguards, and a lot of times insurance comes in place. You know, a lot of times people don't think of insurance as investing. You know, some will think education policies, you know, safeguarding. How do you still build, and I guess your point was, still build some safeguards even as you're investing, even as you're taking on risk, build some safeguards. Yeah. How should those safeguards look like? Is it just a six-month, shock to, you know, your expenditure, so you have 6 months of spending kept or locked away somewhere where you can access it? How exactly should we be approaching safeguards here?
Okay, good question. When you talk about that, and if you relate closely with our environment, most of us don't talk about safeguards. We do not talk about insurance. We do not talk about the opportunities that are yourself. But let me start by talking about an emergency fund, because that is the first safeguard each of us should have, regardless of what age you are. And COVID was here. And of course, it made us now think better and relate with what the need for safeguard is. People talk about 3 to 6 months of your expenses. I talk about 12 months to 2 years, which is 24 months, of a clear safeguard, because COVID lasted almost 2 years, okay? So people were not employed, there were no income. So how did they survive? And people suffered in the process. So we need to be very keen in creating a buffer in terms of an emergency fund where this money can be reached without any fear or without any interruptions or without restrictions. So I talk about 1 year to 2 years. Now, after we set that, then we go to the next level to ask ourselves, who am I, where am I in the stage of life? What is priority? Now, if you are starting life, it's different from someone who is ending their working life. Because when you are starting life, your risk levels are up there, and your investment savings,
still down there.
They are still down there. They are at zero. So you need the highest in terms of risk mitigation, and that is where insurance comes in. We recommend two products. I've been in insurance for quite a while, so I understand what it means. So we recommend two products. That is one called the Whole of Life Insurance and a Term Life. Now, depending on who is looking at this, both are good, but both, of course, they are different in their own ways. Now, All of Life says you will pay premiums until a certain period of time. Then after that, you'll be covered for the rest of your life. Now, Term Life says you'll be covered for a certain period of time. Once that ends, it's done. So you can decide 15 years or 20 years. And you need insurance at your prime years when you're beginning life, and when you're getting babies, because the risk is too high. Now, even jumping to what we call education policies and all that, I tell people, let's take care of the risk. Because when you go to insurance policies, we are talking about savings. Now, that has its own people who deal with that. And those are investments. So let's cover ourselves between the ages of 20 to the ages of at least 50, because that is the high expense period of a human being. Let's make sure that we are properly covered. And it's very cheap. And so that is important. Now, when you look at it from the other angle, we also say we have three stages in life. The stage of accumulation. And the stage of accumulation is when we need the highest. The stage of conservation is what you have been earning and accumulating. You need to conserve it. Now, insurance also comes in because it takes care of what you've mobilized, and then the stage of distribution. And this, of course, we invite the lawyers to be speaking to our population, because people are dying intestate without a will. And so distribution becomes a big challenge, even on the investment arena. We have investment money, which we don't know who it goes to. Then a fight erupts, and we all the money, or the money is held by the trustee, and the family is suffering on this side. So we need clarity on planning. And of course, the buffer is what is most important at this point. Insurance comes in second, and then distribution. And then investments now will be, when we are moving on, we are building our investment portfolio. So the need for insurance comes down as the investments grows. So that's why it is important to see which investment or what term do you want to go for.
Lastly, Mr. Stanley, quickly, it's around how to think of risk going forward. And something you mentioned also is you're not trying to present risk to stop people from investing. So going forward, how going forward, very shortly, if you would put it going forward, yeah, how should one be thinking of risk going forward after such a conversation?
Risk should be a friend. Because if you ignore risk, then it becomes your enemy. Risk is not the enemy at all. And so we should look at every opportunity that presents itself and we ask ourselves, what is the risk? Let's not ignore it. So we should have a relationship with return, risk, and then ask ourselves, what this opportunity that presented itself, what is the risk that is there? Am I ready to take it? Do I understand myself and what stage of life I am and what risk appetite I have at this particular point? So let's not avoid risk. Even sleeping is a risk. I'm not sure you are going to wake up tomorrow.
You might fail to wake up.
Me here is a risk. I'm not sure I'm going to get down after the lift.
Yeah.
Risk is with us. Risk will live with us forever. So we should have a very positive attitude towards risk. Because at the end of the day, it is calculated risk that will give the returns that we are looking for at all times.
Well, so Mr. Stanley Mutuku is the Chief Executive Officer of Lofty Coban and has been on the podcast here, and I hope you've been able to put two together, risk, balancing risks and reward, taking the pleasure and the pain also that might come with it. And that has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. My name is Kefa Muirore, and until I catch you on the next episode, do remember to make your money work for you. Goodbye.